So a happy new year to everyone. This is the mass of the people who were in bed by between 8 and 10:05 last night. Because none of us were up till midnight if you're at this mass. Maybe some of us. So, my dear brothers and sisters, today we begin this year, as we begin every year, celebrating Mary, the Mother of God, and it truly is a fitting way to begin the year, because it is the role of Mary is to lead us, to bring us to her Son, and so it's fitting that we begin this year. You know, we have many feasts throughout the year celebrating Mary, but it's fitting that we begin this year celebrating Mary as she is our guide to her Son for this coming year. And she was our guide last year, and so now we pick that guide up again as we go through this year. This is, and I've said this before, but this is always one thing that's bothered me about New Year is, you know, we look back at the last year, and some people think, oh well, thank God that year is over. And my dear brothers and sisters, last year it went exactly how God wanted it to, and so if we lived it with faith, then we understood that. And if we live this coming year with faith, then we will understand that whatever may come this year is a good thing. Oh, this is Job. Job says wonderfully, God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the Lord. You know, for whatever. And so we have to look at, a Christian looks at every year like that. There is no such thing as a bad year. Maybe a little bit of a hard year, maybe difficult year, but there is no such thing as a bad year because a Christian knows that God is bringing us through every year. Anyway, today as we celebrate this Mary, Mother of God, I want to really spend the time in this homily reflecting on the Gospel of Luke and in the beautiful way that the story is told. I don't know if you've ever, if it ever dawned on you, but as you listen to the Gospels and to all the disciples, but to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know that the disciples don't meet Jesus until he's 30. So since they don't meet him until he's 30, and they're with him for 3 years, how are they able to tell the story of the birth of Christ? They weren't there. I don't know if this has ever dawned on you, but because we don't think about it. We just kind of listen. But they weren't there. So how is it that they know about what happened? Well, and this is why, my dear brothers and sisters, Scripture is always relatable to us. Because it speaks about the very human existence, the very way of being human. Well, how does Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the disciples know about the birth of Christ? It's because Mary told them about it, told them the story. And this is something that we can relate to, because I bet parents, if I ask you, and you who are young and will be parents one day, but if I ask you parents to think back to the birth of your children, you can most likely give me every detail on the birth of every one of your children. Why? Because you remember it with great love. You remember it with great tenderness. You remember it that this is the day that the Lord allowed you to have a children, and you received it with great joy, and yes, now they may drive you up a batty wall. They may make you go crazy. But you remember that day with great love. And so And so Mary, who is remembering, Mary, who is a mother, this is why Mary, Mother of God, who is a mother, is remembering the story of the birth of her son, and is retelling that story to the apostles. And when she retells it to them, when she tells them the story, she tells it to them as any mother would tell the story, with great with great tenderness, with great love, with great affection. And so she's very careful. If we're listening to the Gospel of Luke, she's very careful about the words she uses in order to tell the story. And those words are words that are also meant for our life. And she begins, she tells them the story. She says, the shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem. You know, she doesn't use the word they went really quickly or they went fast. She uses the word haste. They went in haste. Now, why would the shepherds go in haste? And what does that have to do with us? Well, the shepherds represent us. The shepherds are the guys who are out in the field. They're not doing anything grand. They're not doing anything great. They're doing the normal, everyday man of that time's work. And their life is to be a shepherd. That's their life. They get paid to watch sheep. And they'll do it the next day, and they'll do it the day after, and they're just doing their job, and they're just living their life. And it's exactly in the moment where they are just living their life that the angel appears to them and forever changes their life. And so when the angel appears to these shepherds who are living their everyday life and tells them this good news, the shepherds don't just sit on that and go, oh, that's nice. They don't go, oh, that's cool, very good. And they don't just meander to Jesus. They make haste because their life, they have heard a message that is life-changing, that is life altering, and so they move. They run to go and see what this angel who just appeared out of thin air is telling them about. There is urgency in that word haste. And you know what you say to me? Well, yeah, Father. I mean, if an angel appeared to me as I was walking into the parking lot and said, you know, told me a great news, I would make haste too, but I ain't seen an angel appear to me, and so I ain't moving in haste. And why is that? Because we don't live this story as if it's life-changing. We live this story as if we are spectators. We're just watching what happens. And we watch what happens every year. And because we live as if next year is a given, we're going to watch it next year too, and it's going to be the same thing, and probably next year Father's going to say the same thing, and we're just going to watch. And this is why, my dear brothers and sisters, the good news of the birth of Christ does not move us as it should. It should light a fire under us. Why? Because it is the angel appearing in the middle of our fields of our life, which is us doing our everyday thing, going to work, living our everyday life. The angel appears and says to you and me, a child is born. And what do we do? Okay, that's nice. That's great, but my life is never going to change. The word of the angel to us should be life-altering. We should not live our life the same way. This is why a Christian lives every year differently, because we know that God has been born for us. We don't live this life as the world lives it. The world wants to get rid of next year and get into the following year. But we live this news, this life-changing news, and so it should make us move. It should make us run. But it doesn't only make, not only do the shepherds run to see Jesus, not only do they make haste, but then the story continues. It says, when they saw this, so when they made haste and they got there and saw Christ, what is it that they do? They made known the message that had been told to them about this child. All who heard were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. They don't only go make haste and see. They see and they go out screaming this good news. How many times have we gone out of this church screaming the good news? Forget about it. What we do is we go out and we scream at the parking lot because the guy in front of us cut us off as we were trying to get out of the parking lot. We have just witnessed a life-altering event here on this altar. And we go back out of the church. That was nice. That was great. Okay, back to normal. No, my dear brothers and sisters, if we have received this good news, if we come and we have seen it, then we have to be compelled to go out and to tell everyone about it. To tell everyone about what God has done in our life, about the fact that God has loved us to the point of sending his son for us to rescue us, to save us. We should go and scream that from the rooftops. We should go and tell our coworkers about it. And we should go and we should tell our families about it. Not in the way of beating people over the head, but of just telling them the good news. Why? Because that good news that we received is meant to bring us joy. This is the third part. He said, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Their response is joy. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, sometimes because this is a problem all over the Catholic Church, is, you know, we hear that argument, why should I be Christian? Why should I be Catholic? There's no joy. And it's true. However, sometimes we live our faith, oh man, it's painful for me to watch. Sometimes, I have to go to church every Sunday. You mean when I go on vacation, I have to find a church? Now Lent is coming, they're going to make me give up meat. No wonder. Nobody wants to be Catholic. We live it as if we're going to marching to our death. Well, I wouldn't want to be Catholic either. Sometimes I look at me and think, I don't know if I could convince myself to be Catholic. Oh, got to celebrate another Mass. Oh, Father, don't say that. Oh, come on. This is why people don't see it. Because the news that we receive should create in us an infectious joy. How many people, when they speak to us, do they receive an infectious joy from us? You know, I think back to yesterday, we lost Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, and St. John Paul II, and I think, what was it, besides the fact that they spoke the truth, what was it how was it that they made faith so attractive? How was it that St. John Paul II made the priesthood, I think of myself, so attractive? And it wasn't because they lived it as if this was some heavy burden. No, their joy was infectious. Imagine how many people we could bring along with us if we had a quarter of that infectious joy. But the thing is, people look at us and, if that's what it means to be Catholic, oof, I don't want it. Because my dear brothers and sisters, we have to, if we're going to receive this news, this life-changing news, then that life-changing news has to bring us joy. Joy to our lives, joy to our hearts, joy to the way we live our life. And if that joy is truly in us, then I promise you that all of those people that you want to bring along in your life to the faith, they will come along if they see in you joy, if they see in you that the good news has taken root in your life, they will come along. You can bring them with you. You can stop living the pipe dream and saying, oh, I wish my children would come to the faith, and, you know, never going to. They will. If they see it in you, if they see it in me. And so today, my dear brothers and sisters, we have this opportunity to celebrate Mary, the Mother of God, to let Mary accompany us in this year, to allow us to go in haste to see her son, to go and bring the news of the birth of her son to the world, and to live that news with great joy. Let us stand and profess our faith.